Welcome to Return with Honor, a Wyvern Nation podcast hosted by the 31st Fighter Wing Commander, Brigadier General Tad Clark. Enjoy the message.
Well, listeners, welcome to another podcast from the 31st Fighter Wing titled Return. This is Brigadier General Tad Clark, the Wing Commander here at Aviano Air Base. And I am joined by two incredible warfighters. Number one, my command chief, Chief Master Sergeant Cesar Flores. So Chief, thank you for being here.
Of course.
With me today, and we have a special guest, Airman First Class Kevin Tran. I believe probably, Chief, you and I have seen Airman First Class Tran most regularly when he is standing post at one of our gates here at Aviano. And we have really come to admire and respect the manner in which you execute your duties to secure this base, the professionalism. But that's not the only reason why we've asked you to be our guest today on this podcast. There's something else that we wanted to highlight. Chief, can you take us from there?
Yes, sir. No, A1C Kevin Tran, I would offer a household name already. When you mention his name, they know who he is because of the way he, in the manner he conducts himself at the gate. Surprisingly enough, you've been in a year and 2 months, but just a little more about you. We learned you had a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from Texas State University. And we've learned we're kind of kindred souls. We're both from the DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth area. I'm from Fort Worth and you grew up in Dallas. I never asked if you're a Cowboys fan or not. Maybe you can reveal that a little bit later. But why you're here, why you're a household name is just the immense gratitude that you display every single day. That's the theme of this podcast under the cultural tenet of value. And I'll just get right into it. So Kevin, tell me about your journey into the Air Force. What motivated you and what's been your experience so far?
It really has been something unbelievable. And thank you, gentlemen, once again for having me here. I cannot believe how great the opportunity this is to be here. I just feel so grateful to be here in the Air Force after this time and what I've been able to do so far, because all I've ever wanted for so many years was just a chance to join. You know, whenever I came to Texas State, I knew that I wanted to be a defender and I wanted to join the Air Force and try and go overseas. I wanted to play my part in the role of the mission, both for whichever wing I'm with and for the Air Force as a whole. And to be here now, it truly is amazing. It's an honor. You know, you mentioned that my name is a household name, quote unquote, which I gotta disagree with that one, but I must admit that, you know, knowing where I've come from, with way my family grew up, how they've had to handle adversity, how they've gone about their goals and their dreams, to be able to wear my family's name on my uniform and get to do what I love and what I'm passionate about every single day, it really has been amazing to be here in Aviano in the Air Force as a defender. It's been unbelievable, Chief.
Okay, absolutely. So me being a former defender, however, I don't know how relevant I am to today's mission, and it's evolved quite a bit. So tell me, what does your job entail and what's the most challenging and rewarding part of being a defender?
I would say that the most challenging part is you're always gonna have to adapt and you always have to deal with things that are unexpected. You know, every single day is gonna be different. It really is. Some people can get caught in the routine and the mundane aspect of the job, but with this job, you know, all the advice has been told coming in was to be a sponge, learn your job, master the fundamentals. And to be able to do that, it's so interesting and so challenging, but it's also been fun because you have to remember that, you know, our mission starts with secure the base. I really do truly believe that the 31st Security Force Squadron we have here, we set the tempo for the mission. We set the high ops, the success. It starts with us. And the way you would secure the gate is not the same way you would secure a restricted area. It's different. So you have to learn. You have to be, you know, absorbing of all the knowledge. You have to ask questions. You have to listen to what people are trying to tell you and inform you to help you get better with being better at the job and just helping the team overall. You know, that's definitely the biggest challenge is just, you know, every day is gonna be different. So you have to stay on your toes. But I mean, that's also one of the most rewarding parts is that you're not just stuck with having just one simple skill. You can learn all different kinds of skills. You can learn all different kinds of jobs. You can learn different languages. I mean, you know, restricted area, you don't really speak a lot of Italian, but then at the gate, you're dealing with, you know, Italian coworkers working at ITAF. There are people rolling through your gate trying to gain access to the base that are authorized to enter, and they speak Italian. You have to, you know, learn their language, and you need to, you know, be cordial with them too. So it's been amazing. You know, I wanted to ask both of y'all, because both of you obviously have been very experienced with your time in the Air Force Chief. I know that you've had the opportunity to cross train to a lot of different jobs. Like, what's been challenging, rewarding about that? You know, you're learning so much about the Air Force and how you need to, you know, do your job and do it properly, but you're also trying to adjust to different mission sets. You're adjusting to PCS in different bases. You just walk me through that. What's that like?
Oh, wow. You put it back on us. That was not on the script for everyone listening. I would tell you just really quick, the read back I got was how you turn your gratitude into perspective and the way you see the world and how you see everything as an opportunity as opposed to a problem set. That's pretty incredible when you think about it that way. I will offer the changing jobs every 4 years. Early on, you have to realize that, do you enjoy being a lifelong learner or not? And if you enjoy that piece, the lifelong learning, you welcome change, because that means you have to go through a lot of different training programs, and you realize that life, the infinite game in this is that you're always learning and you never get stagnant. So there's always a freshness and new adventure to get after. So that's been my experience with it. And now with the leadership part, I would offer General Clark as well. Same leadership positions, just different scope, but the people are way different, and a good leader adjusts to the folks as well. And that in itself brings a lot of satisfaction as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, for our listeners, obviously for these podcasts, we prepare, we have a few things that we want to cover, but we also want them to be genuine, sincere, and more of a conversation. And so in keeping with that, and I'd like to actually throw a question your way that we didn't talk about before. And that is, clearly we've highlighted, you have a wonderful attitude. You're humble, you want to be a sponge, you want to learn, you want to ask questions, and you want to be proficient at your warfighting task. Can you just share with us and our listeners, and remember, some of our listeners are not assigned to the 31st Fighter Wing. I would argue some of our listeners are not even in the military. So with that in mind, can you just share with us what has shaped your attitude? Why do you feel you have developed this attitude of humility and wanting to learn and eager to do your very best in everything that you do, and that you have a spirit of gratitude?
I really appreciate that, General. You know, something that Chief mentioned that is so true is that you're going to be working with all different kinds of people, and the people are constantly changing. You're going to have people that are PCSing, moving onto different bases, and people that are coming in from different backgrounds. They're coming from different mission sets. They're coming from different, you know, walks of life. And they can teach you so much about life. You just, for me, I just need to really listen to what they have to say, because, you know, there are times whenever, I think there'll be times whenever I'm down and, you know, I'm not sure what I'm doing or why it is that I got selected to be here in Aviano, but, you know, there are great people in our squadron that are super unbelievable defenders. They're credible and they're lethal and they're ready to do, you know, whatever it takes to complete the mission. So just being able to just connect with the people that we have in our unit has been unbelievable. Something that I always love to try and tell people when it comes to gratitude, a little like scenario, if you will, is imagine if someone was to give you, you know, $86,400. It's all yours, but I'm going to take 60 real quick. You would theoretically still take all that money, because that's a lot of money. And now think about it. If there's 86,400 seconds in a day, if only 60 of it get ruined, you know, a minute of it gets ruined because, you know, maybe whenever you were at the gate, someone's giving you a hard time or someone's giving you attitude or disrespect, why should that have to ruin your whole day? You can still control the tangibles in your life to just make your day better, to keep making the most of it. So don't let those small little things bring you down. You just have to have the mentality of there's so much more to life than to negativity. Stick to what's positive, stick to what's good, connect with the people that have the same beliefs and the desires that you do, you do that, you know, that's just how you grow with gratitude here in the military. And then in my personal life, you know, as mentioned before, my last name is Tran, it's Vietnamese. You know, my family actually came, both of them were from Vietnam. They were touched by the war and they had to escape Vietnam to come here. Well, not here because we're in Italy, but they eventually escaped to go to America and then build their lives there. And I just cannot be more thankful, more grateful for all the sacrifice, all the hard work that they poured in. Because I didn't even realize it when I was so young as a kid. But then as you get older, you see the sacrifices that they've been able to pour in. And it's almost, and just like here in Aviano, there are things that people are doing for me that maybe I don't even realize it now. But then when I'm done with my time here, I'm gonna look back and go, man, that teammate I had, that mentor that I had, that, you know, whoever it may be, they were so impactful in my life and they did so much to sacrifice and pour into me, and I just could not be more grateful. That's where it comes from, you know. And gentlemen, I know that, you know, both of you are parents, so my question for you now that I have is, you know, how are you able to like go about your job and handle all the different kind of stresses with both, you know, having to take care of your personal life, your families, the entire wing, and still have this just go-getter attitude, you know, and be grateful and for what you have?
Wow, that's a pretty heavy question. Well, first off, thank you for sharing your story, because I did want to know a little bit more about what experiences, life experiences, shaped you as you grew and made the decision to join the Air Force. And so the takeaway there is the fact that you had two parents that found themselves in a very, very challenging circumstance in a war-torn nation, and they were able to make their way to the United States and build a new life, raised you with an appreciation for some of the opportunities and freedoms our nation provides. And here you are, a member of the United States Air Force in uniform and one of our finest defenders. That's pretty inspirational. For your question, first off, I'll be the first one to say I have not always got it right. I've made some great decisions in life and some poor decisions in terms of how I've been able to balance work-life responsibilities. Those moments I think that have gone well are the moments where I have been deliberate with my time. I've been intentional, and I share this with many different groups here in the wing when I have an opportunity to do so, but it's being intentional with my time. So when I'm at work, I'm focused and prepared for the engagements I have. And then when I go home, I want to be deliberate and spend time with my wife, spend time with my children. My oldest son just graduated from high school last summer.
Congratulations.
Yes, and he is now back in the United States, and we have three other children in our home. So it's important. When do I choose to pick up the phone? When do I choose to check email? When is my mind in the work, and when is my mind on family matters? And you have to separate the two to the best of your ability. Easier said than done than sometimes. But nevertheless, being intentional and deliberate. And then I've also found that what's really, really important is making sure that the hours and time that I have with my family is quality time. Because you'll never be able to match the quantity of hours that we spend at work with the hours we're able to spend with our family when you factor in you gotta sleep as well. So there's far fewer hours remaining to spend with friends and loved ones. And so what I find is most important is to make sure that's quality time and speaking words of kindness, not bringing the frustrations of work home with me, and being able to focus on where my wife is and where my kids are in terms of where are they in life, what are some of the things they're working on, their goals, their objectives, the things that they're concerned about, and focusing on them. Those are the times I feel I've been able to really, really have some quality time with them. And then admittedly, just to be fully transparent, the times I feel like I haven't done a good job with work-life balance is when I have been frustrated at work, or I come home and I maybe bring some of that work-related material back home with me, and I talk about work maybe a little bit too much, or I'm not giving my wife or children the time and attention that they deserve, that's when I feel as if the quality of time I've had at home has not been what it needed to be. And that's what can erode that quality over time. And so we have to be very, very mindful of that. The last thing I'll say, and I'm gonna kick it over to Chief here in a second, is the fact that when you make the decision to serve, that does come with some sacrifice, but it ought not sacrifice the health of your relationships with your spouse or your children or your loved ones. You have to really, really protect that. And sometimes that can be challenging, but it's important that we focus on that. And so it's just a reminder of we have to be intentional. I've used the word intentional and deliberate a number of times, and that was on purpose, because those words I really think define how you can maximize quality, because quantity will always unfortunately be a challenge. Chief.
Sir, I totally agree with you, and I'll be quick with this just because really I'm just adding on to what General Clark said. It all starts with the foundations, and I honestly believe what you are made of, gratitude. If you have gratitude, you value what you do, and it makes things so much easier to pour into your passion. It gives you optimism, it gives you a sense of initiative, and that's scalable, right? Like at every level, if you start that with the 2 airmen that you get, you can do it with the 5,000 airmen that you get at a wing. Because leading people and managing tasks doesn't really change. The scale just changes, but you also get a team. But you get the reps and sets at every level to prepare you for that next one, so it's not as daunting. So that's the only things I would add, is it starts with optimism, and that leeches over into your passion for taking care of people, and it makes things easy because you love what you do.
Yeah. You know, Kevin, you've mentioned a couple times what your mission set is, and you've referenced our mission statement. And of course, it starts off with secure the base. Let me ask you one more question, and then we'll get ready to wrap this up. What words of advice do you have to perhaps other airmen that are getting to their first base, whether it be here at Aviano or anywhere else, or for someone that's listening that's not even in the military, that's getting ready to go to their first job opportunity, what do you recommend they do in order to be successful at what they do, from your perspective?
I've always told people that are coming in first time, especially if you're from tech school coming into our unit, is that never forget that before you were made a defender, you were an airman too, and you still are. Take care of the small things first. Wear your uniform properly. Show up to work early. Have, like Chief said, have optimism. Be deliberate with your time, as you said, and you know, things like that. But then also, you know, take care of your personal life, be healthy, eat right, work out, take the time to travel. If you have that opportunity, like we have here in Aviano, go travel. And you know, wherever it is that you're stationed at, you know, make the most of what the base has to offer, make the most of what the surrounding areas have to offer. You do that, you know, you'll set yourself up right personally. And then when you take care of that, when you go into work, it'll make, you know, your professional life that much easier, because you'll have your home life taken care of. You'll have your personal life taken care of.
Hey, quick, this is a rapid fire question. So 20 seconds or less, because I was a defender in security forces and I've flown air crew, where we always remember the stuff that's super adventurous, blowing stuff up and going to fire. But the job, really the nitty gritty, is being a sentry. You have to be vigilant, and that usually leads to many hours of being ready, but not a lot happening. Right. So that can grind on an airman. What's the advice you would give to those folks to stay locked in, but also get to those periods?
I think for me, because I get posted at the gate a lot, and you know, we always talk about different situations. Oh, what if this happens? Okay, we need to do this. Oh, if that happens, you know, do this. We have gear for, you know, this reason. We do this for that reason. When stuff like that rarely ever happens, thank goodness. And the one thing I can say for sure is, you know, rely on your teammates, because you're never gonna have to guard the gate by yourself, thank goodness. You know, so honestly, just try to get to know your teammates. It doesn't have to be, you know, that, like, it can just be a personal conversation. Just, hey, where are you from? Checking up on them. Hey, how are you doing? How's family? Are they doing all right? You got plans for this weekend? Things like that. When, you know, times are tough in the sense that you're trying to stay ready, so you don't have to get ready, but there's nothing even that's like dangerous that's happening. But also, you know, take it into account history. You know, like I said, as a defender, as someone that's of Vietnamese heritage, you know, if you studied, you know, if you just study defender history, you know, or even just American history in general, a lot of different things have happened that have been kind of detrimental towards our warfighting capabilities because we were not ready. Like, for example, in the Vietnam War, our squadron was deployed there, and there were a lot of different units during what's called the Tet Offensive that were attacked, and they took, you know, a lot of casualties. They weren't ready. Their bases were initially overrun at first because the enemy took advantage of the Tet, which is the Lunar New Year, the Vietnamese Lunar New Year at that time, and there was supposed to be a ceasefire. And so a lot of people just assumed, oh, well, you know, since there's a ceasefire, nothing's going to happen. Well, there's no guarantees. You have to always, you know, as my flight chief always tells us, you got to stay ready, so you got to get ready. So relying on your teammates and remembering why it is that you do what you're doing every single day, and that'll help you be a better defender, be better at, you know, wherever it is you're doing, whether it's, you know, being a defender, working air crew, no matter where your job is.
Yeah. That's perfect. It's interesting. Last combat readiness exercise, General Clark himself was during the lulls of combat. We were doing academics and different things to make sure that the mind stayed sharp to avoid complacency. So that's, I love that mindset with a year and 2 months in.
Thank you, Chief.
Yeah. So as we wrap up here, I want to foot stomp this point. Airman First Class Kevin Tran right here has been in our Air Force for 1 year and 2 months. And you have a lot of experience to continue to gain and glean, but my goodness, what a fantastic start to your Air Force journey. And you've demonstrated that daily with your attitude and an attitude of gratitude. And meaning to our audience of how does this all tie together? It is this, it's this gratitude of being able to serve in the profession of arms. It's this gratitude of being able to wear the U.S. Air Force uniform. It is this sense of gratitude to be able to perform the roles and responsibilities our Air Force has invested in you. So in this case, you can secure the base and get the mission done. And why is that important? The attitude governs everything. Because it governs our approach. It allows us to remain humble. Be a sponge, like you said. Ask questions, master the fundamentals, back to the basics. Start with the small things first, build upon that, and then success begets success. And then you build experience, and then you build expertise. And that's how we embolden our warfighting readiness. And the name of the game is that we're ready to go at a moment's notice. And I like what you said. You said stay ready so you don't have to get ready, right? And so I really, really like that. Something that Chief Flores says all the time, and I wholeheartedly agree, is it's not what are you doing in the moment of the crisis, but what are you doing in between those moments of crisis? Are you preparing? Are you training? Are you focused? Are you dialed in? Are you trying to get better at what you do? And so this is a great reminder as we wrap up this podcast. It's a great reminder for all of us to take a moment to reflect on your roles and responsibilities. Where are you and what are you supposed to accomplish and do? Are you learning? Are you asking questions? Are you being humble? Are you a sponge? Are you learning? Are you growing? And then are you then putting that into practice with an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of resilience, of an amazing work ethic, and striving to be your best at what you do. And when we do that, we are then better equipped to answer our nation's call. And that is what we are tasked to do, making sure that we stay focused on what our responsibilities are in the profession of arms. And so thank you for spending some time with us today, Kevin. Again, a year and 2 months in our Air Force, and you're starting off just in just such a impactful way. And again, as Chief and I have driven through the gate many, many times, and we see you there standing post, like many of your colleagues, we are reminded every day that we have a remarkable defender cadre that know their job and do it well. And it's been wonderful to spend some time with you. So thank you.
Thank you, General. Thank you, Chief. I appreciate your time.
Yeah. So listeners, thank you for dialing in for another series of the 31st Fighter Wing podcast, known as Return with Honor, our wing motto. And we appreciate your time, and hopefully you're able to get a few things out of today's conversation that can embolden and inspire and mentor you and those you work with. So as we always conclude with, Return with Honor.
Thank you for listening to the Return with Honor podcast. If you'd like to learn more about the mission, airmen, and families of Aviano, visit the Aviano Airbase Facebook page. If you enjoyed the podcast, click to subscribe. We'll see you next time.